Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. And with me in the studio today is my wonderful wife, Laverne Kreider.
Good to be here, Larry.
Great to have you back. And again, we are right in the midst of the Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership podcast, a series of podcasts. And the test we're going to talk about today is just so important and just so relevant for the days we live in today. It's called the Test of Integrity. I have so many people as I travel throughout the world. I mean, just, you know, being away this week in Asia, where I go almost, I have questions about integrity, especially among leaders today. And so we want to talk about the integrity test. And I've often said that integrity test basically is this, being the same in public as we are in private.
That's so true.
Isn't that true? Yes. And, you know, I was born in 1950. You were born 2 years later, 52. About 4 or 5 years before we were born, there were three young ministers of the gospel who were bursting into the ministry scene. It had been in the late 1940s, basically. And two of these three had already achieved amazing influence. One guy's name was Chuck Templeton. The other guy was Bron Clifford. And they were preaching dynamos. In fact, one university president during that time said this. He said, after I heard Templeton preach to a crowd, he said, of several thousand people, he said, he is the most talented, gifted young preacher in the whole United States. Yeah. This guy was powerful, just young. And so Bron Clifford was also believed to be someone who would probably impact the church world in amazing ways. Here's what's so sad. Both Templeton and Clifford started out so strong. But by 1950, Templeton basically left the ministry in pursuit of a career in radio and television commentator. And that's not a problem. That's another kind of ministry. However, it wasn't long until he eventually decided he no longer believed in Orthodox Christianity. How could that happen? Somebody, you know, so young, so full of God, so used of God, so gifted, and all of a sudden he doesn't really believe in Orthodox Christianity. Now, Clifford, the other guy, his story is nothing short of tragic. By 1954, he had left his wife, he left his children. Alcohol was the vice that destroyed his life. And only 9 years after being the most sought-after preacher in the whole United States, Clifford was found dead in a sleazy motel room. Just sad. Now people say, what about the third? Who was the third one? Well, I'm glad to say who this was. One of my heroes, personally. Mm-hmm. He was Billy Graham.
Yes.
He was young just like they were. They were all contemporaries. They knew each other. And Billy Graham, while Templeton and Clifford were enjoying their success, he was establishing boundaries, boundaries that were boundaries of integrity in his life in these early days with his team. And again, with his personal life and the ministry, that would ensure his longevity. And he's been a leader who's led with integrity for many years. He's now with the Lord. And there's never, ever, ever, ever been scandal with Billy Graham.
Yeah, and he lived into his 90s, didn't he? Yeah.
And I love the man. I remember we saw him one time. I always wanted to see Billy Graham. And I remember our kids were young. And we went to Philadelphia to listen to him preach. So one time I was so much in awe. But what I always loved about him was he was the real deal. And he was a standard for all of us. And you know, so we took it to heart and said, whatever he did, we want to learn to do also. So in a few minutes, I want to talk about exactly what he did and how we learned to do the same. Let's talk about integrity for a moment. A leader who has integrity means he or she is honest. They have clear and uncompromising values and clarity about what is right and what's wrong. Now, the word integrity, and I've taught this many times, comes from the same Latin root word, which is integer. You might remember that, Laverne, in high school, or maybe grade school.
No, I don't think it is.
Well, here's what it is. Integers come from math, they're whole numbers. And so integrity means whole or complete. So when we live in right relationship and open communication with God, it brings us in our lives to a place of wholeness. And we're living with integrity from the inside out. That's bottom line. And we're not trying to conceal parts of ourselves from God, from others, or even from ourselves. So a leader who leads with integrity is leading completely. Now listen to Titus chapter 2, 7 and 8. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed, have nothing bad to say about us. Quote, and that's the scripture from Titus. So integrity simply means there's a complete openness about our lives, hiding nothing. We are in public, same as we are in private. And so let's look at some barriers to integrity. We just talked about this for a few minutes, and then I want to get back then to how Billy Graham handled all this, what he did, and how we've learned to do the same. And we'd recommend this for anyone in leadership, whether in church leadership, business leadership, whatever. I know it's probably even more important in church leadership because people are watching you more. But there's some things we can do to really, practical things we can do to really live in integrity. So here's some barriers to integrity. On the opposite spectrum, when integrity is absent, leaders lead from a vacuum created when trust is lost. And we know that social media and, you know, news, newspaper, whatever, are filled with stories of people who demonstrate little integrity in their dealings with others. So, as a Christian leader, then, we must align our attitudes, our words, our actions with biblical truth. If we want to finish well with integrity intact, we have to be aware of the things that are barriers to integrity, such as misuse of money, abuse of power, pride of success in ministry, sexual misconduct, family dissension, complacency, and the list goes on and on and on. All these issues are deeply rooted in character issues and personal integrity issues.
It's so important, especially as leaders, that we do an inward work, that we really look at the inward workings of our lives, you know, because we're always so busy, and it's like there's a lot of this stuff is external. Yeah. We got to get this done. We got to get this done. We got to get together here.
Right.
But it is the inward work. Psalms 51. The psalmist says, "I desire truthfulness in the hidden parts." Yeah. It is learning how to be emotionally whole. That helps with integrity in our hearts. That we don't have to fake it till we make it. But there's a sense of, we're real with what's going on in our lives. We learn how to handle disappointment. We learn how to grieve. We take Sabbath rests. We allow the Holy Spirit to do an inward work in our lives.
Yeah.
And I feel that brings a sense of integrity and a wholeness all around.
You know, it really does start with the little things, really. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 22 says, "Stay away from every kind of evil." And this means we must, you know, walk in complete purity and integrity. Sometimes, again, it's the little decisions we make that prevent us from making big mistakes, really. And so I know a local ministry leader in our area tells a story, kind of a wild story, of his father. I think he lived in Chicago, if I remember. It was during the Depression in the 1930s. It's a great story. And he said, my dad moved to this cheap one-room apartment in Chicago. There is Chicago. In the hopes of finding work. And he said he spent most of his days on his feet, you know, walking from business to business, just trying to find work so he and his family could eat. He said in his little apartment across the hall, he said it was this guy, kind of bigger than life guy. He said, his name was Al. He said, Al seemed to always be throwing parties, having fun. Things worked out for him. Seemed to be doing well in business or whatever he did. And he said, so he offered my dad a job, a high-paying job. He said, all you need to do, go to a certain street corner, a certain time, pass on a package to one of my customers.
Oh, boy.
And he said, my dad thought about it for a while. And he thought, you know, he said, I don't want to get involved in it. He just had a check in his spirit. He wasn't sure why, but he just didn't have a good feeling about it. And so he said, I'll try to convince him again and again. But he put his arm on my dad's shoulder one day and said, come on, Vernie. He said, it's good money. I know you won't find such an easy job like this anywhere. Besides, I know you're hungry and you could use a job. And our friend said, he said, well, my dad thanked Al and just told him that he just didn't seem right to accept it right now. So Al said, okay, no hard feelings, you know, kind of a deal. And they went their separate ways. He said, eventually, dad did get a good job and he supported himself and supported his family. But years later, he picked up a copy of a newspaper with a picture of his friend Al in the headlines. And it said, Al Capone, gangster, dead. And he said he was so glad he did not take the job because good old Al had offered him.
He followed the integrity of his heart.
He did. You know, he followed his spirit. He followed what God was saying to him, even though he really could have used the money.
And even in the place of integrity, of living this place of integrity of heart, we need accountability in our lives.
Right.
And accountability is not telling people what what to do. Yeah. It's knowing what God's saying to us. Mm-hmm. And if I hold you accountable, you know what God's saying to you, then I hold you accountable for what God's saying.
Right.
I check in on you. Right. You know, are you doing what you believe God's told you to do? That's accountability. And we need that in our lives to stay in a place of integrity. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's
very
important?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. And I just want to mention it again, so all our listeners get this. Accountability is not someone telling you what to do. It's not me telling you what to do. Accountability is hearing from God as to what we're called to do. Asking other souls accountable to do what God's called us to do. And because otherwise it becomes controlling. That's true accountability. But to have an open relationship so we can talk about these important things. Many people, it's just hidden. They never talk about it. So you're right. As leaders, we need checks and balances. And we need accountability on every level. I don't care who we are. You know, I've told many leaders, I said last week when I was in a leadership meeting overseas, you know, I said, who can fire you? Everyone needs someone who can fire you. And what I mean by that is I meet leaders in the body of Christ and they'll say, well, people just don't submit to my authority or whatever. And say, well, where's your authority? I say, well, God's my authority. But no, but there needs to be somebody in your life and a group of people in your life who have authority over you. And we need that because that's true accountability. Mm-hmm. And that's true walk under God's authority. Otherwise, we're just dealing with control issues. So, and the key is being real. I mean, being mm-hmm. real, transparent. I have lots of conversations, you know, working with leaders about, you know, their own lives and making sure they're walking integrity in every mm-hmm. area of their lives. And because the devil always will target leaders and future mm-hmm. leaders. That's bottom
yeah.
line.
Yeah. And being vulnerable. I think it's a real key.
Good.
And it doesn't
good,
mean
good.
We hang our guts out to everyone, yeah. but we need safe yeah. places where we are vulnerable.
Good.
And willing to be vulnerable. If it's confess your faults one to another, you can be healed.
It's interesting. It doesn't say to a group even. No. It says one to another.
Yes, yeah. Because yeah. Satan right. is out to kill, steal, or destroy.
Right, right.
And we need to keep this integrity yeah. of our hearts, this wholeness in our right. lives. And vulnerability will, you know, who was it? Oh, yeah, it was David. He said, search me, O God, yes. and see if there be any wicked offense in me. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, because he knew that God was his good father yeah. and that he wanted to have a heart that is just really soft and open to the Lord and not hiding things from the Lord. Lord knows it's there anyhow.
Yes, yeah.
But he wants us to bring it out and to be vulnerable and open. Mm. And that keeps us in a place of integrity.
Yep. Check out the show notes. Just want to take a quick break on this here. Check out the show notes because this all comes from the Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership, a book I had written about 20 years ago. And there's a lot more in this book than we have time to give on this broadcast, mm-hmm. or say broadcast or this mm-hmm. podcast. But I want to close today with these three things I promised in the beginning. I promised to tell you how Billy Graham dealt mm-hmm. with setting standards.
That'd be good to, that'd
yeah,
be good to hear.
Back when he was in his late teens, early 20s. And how he went through his whole life, and how we've learned to do the same thing. And here I am, you know, at my age, 73. I'm thinking 50 some years of marriage. I'm 73. Wow, how did that happen? You know, and God, by his grace, has kept us. That's just been the grace of God. But there's some things we set in place years back that made all the difference. Now, here's what Billy Graham learned. He said he learned there are three major temptations that can lurk waiting to derail a Christian leader's ministry and integrity before God. And you find these in 1 John 2:16. Mm. And the three are, very simply, sexual temptation, mm-hmm. 1 John 2:16 talks about the cravings of sinful man. Number two, the love of money, speaks of the lust of the mm-hmm. eyes, wanting things. And number three is pride, or pride of life, the boasting of what one has or does. So in three areas, there's sexual temptation, there's love of money and pride of life. And Billy got with his leaders. He said, look, these are three areas that could take us down. We want to build strong for as long as we live and go into eternity. And so I remember reading this as a young leader. And it was so helpful to me because notice these three are twisted versions of legitimate, wonderful works God wants to give us. Sex within the perimeter of marriage is a wonderful gift. But the emphasis of sex outside of marriage in today's sex-saturated society can make it a challenge to stay morally pure, bringing great devastation on so many who fall. And so that's the sexual side. And, of course, money, it's the love of money. Money is a good thing. We need money to live, to do what we do on this earth. But it's the love of money we got to be careful with. Mm-hmm. And obviously, pride is a horrible thing because that's the opposite of total dependence
on
God.
Well, God resists the pride.
He does.
Proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
That's so
clear.
So I remember as a young leader, Laverne, you remember this well too. The team we began to work with, we learned from Billy Graham to set a standard in these three areas. And it's very, very practical. Here's what he did. Number one, he said, as far as sexual temptation, to be sure, he said he would not spend time alone with a woman other than his wife or daughters. He was committed to abstaining from every appearance of evil. And Billy finished well. He passed the test. Now, I meet many people today think that's legalism. It's not legalism. And again, everyone needs to know what God's saying to them. But we made that decision. I'm not going to, even though my heart may be really right about it, I'm not going to spend time in a room, a place alone, in my office or wherever alone with a woman. And obviously, there's glass doors and all those kind of things, but nothing secretive. Why? Because we want to make sure if we fall off the cliff, we're so far away, we never fall down. You know what I mean? Some people say, well, I've made a little mistake, but be as far away from the cliff as you can.
And that's where accountability comes in.
Exactly.
That as leaders need to walk in accountability.
Exactly.
They need to have people in their lives that will ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
And just love on them, you know, to ask those questions that we will look honestly at our hearts and lives, even if we feel there's a temptation to, you know, temptation's not sin, but if we realize we're falling to some temptation that we can quickly say, I need a boundary here.
Yeah. I was recently in California and I was at a conference and one of the speakers, well-known speaker, I won't use his name, but he said the reason people fall, they think they're kings. Kings in the Bible fell because they're accountable to no one. And he said, whenever people fall, they act like kings. And, you know, I look and see in the body of Christ where people have fallen, in most cases, there is no true accountability. They're not accountable to anybody. They lived a hidden life. So number one, Billy Graham said, I will not do that. And he went through his whole life, no scandal. Like, I know there are times because of who he was. When they went to a hotel room, he'd have his team go in first, make sure. Because all it takes is one snapshot of somebody, even totally wrong motivation. He could have been totally innocent. He did everything he could to maintain that sense of integrity. That's the first thing. Second thing is the love of money. Well, God blesses us with money to advance his kingdom. Money is a good thing, but here's what Billy did. He said, we're going to have an open book policy with our finances. And of course, we've chosen to do the same. And in fact, even when he had his crusades, as they call them in those days, they would make sure they raised the money up front. They wouldn't take offerings so people couldn't say, well, he's doing this to make money, because he didn't. And so that's how he dealt with the love of money. And it's interesting, you know, when the rich young ruler expressed interest in the ministry of Jesus, the disciples probably were thrilled. They thought, wow, this will take his wealth. This will take care of our needs. Man, this is going to be awesome. But Jesus told him to sell everything and give the money to the poor and follow him. Jesus did not ask for anything for himself. And he would not compromise his integrity. And so I find that a really interesting twist to that whole story we've all read so many times. It wasn't just about that man's heart giving everything away. It also had to do with not giving it to Jesus, but giving it to the poor. Mm-hmm. And it's so that his heart was at the right place. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's the second area, the love of money. The third area is if we trust in our accomplishments, it leads to pride. So Billy Graham said, how are we going to deal with that? And one of the guys, I don't know if it was Cliff Barrows or one of the guys on the team way back when he was in his like early 20s, said, we'll deal with that. We'll keep you humble. And I've been blessed with people in my life who've kept me humble, great friends over the years, and do that for other people too. And we just need people that we can just be real with and say, this is who I am. And by the grace of God, I find that when we follow the Lord practically in these areas, he gives us grace to walk in purity, humility, integrity. And that's what we need to see in the body of Christ today.
Yeah, and the scripture says it's the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we walk in the grace of God, but the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that will prompt us and along with accountability, with having people in our lives, will prompt us and speak to us if we're lacking in integrity of the heart, or if we exaggerate.
Right.
You know, God's heart is that we are honest within ourselves. So that's very important.
Yeah, you know, Proverbs 2:7 says, "We'll be protected by our integrity because the Lord will be a shield to those who walk in integrity."
That's good, a shield.
Yeah,
is.
And you know, when a leader's character is marked by integrity, people will follow them. I mean, I you know, people I've looked to in my life to follow are people who have integrity. I don't want to follow people. And people who have made the decisions early on to have guidelines in their lives. And of course, we still need the grace of God, obviously. But we have these guidelines in our lives. And I think the verse that's helped me again and again and again, we've said it before, I'll say it again, abstain from every appearance of evil. Some people think, well, it's no big deal. But don't even do anything. It would cause people to maybe question. Stay away from every appearance of evil. And, you know, often younger leaders will talk to me as I travel and say, what about this person fell and this person fell, whatever. Here's what I tell them, Laverne. I say, you know, for everyone who's fallen, there's a thousand that I know who love their wives mm-hmm. and love their families and they love Jesus mm-hmm. and they have guidelines in their lives and they, you know, they're not falling for this craziness mm-hmm. that we can see around us.
Well, I think also even in our leadership, we don't get enamored by our leadership.
True.
We don't put ourselves on a pedestal. We
right.
walk humbly before the Lord,
right.
and we don't get enamored by other leaders.
Exactly.
We honor leadership, but we don't get enamored. We're enamored by Jesus.
Yes.
And so if a leader falls, you know, we guard our hearts.
Yeah.
We keep our hearts, you know, in tune with the Lord in these incidents without, you know, just falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not enamored.
Right.
By this kind of stuff, and we're not enamored by our own leadership.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
We stay humble before the Lord.
Yeah,
and that just keeps us in it. I find that it's just kept you and I in a place
it
of
really
humility.
Has. Yeah,
a place of just absolutely dependence on the Lord.
Yeah,
for Him to work in and through us.
Yeah, I shared again in another nation in the last 2 weeks. You know, it's people say, well, you know, we've been blessed over the years. We've seen God do so many things, and you know, see our little church grow, you know, to become a movement of churches of 1,100 churches. Like, wow, how did that happen? And we look back and say, we don't know, except for one thing. It was just the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it was amazing people that God placed around
mm-hmm.
us. And so God called all of us, anyone listening today, God's called you to be a person mm-hmm. of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, I've fallen, I have areas I'm not integrity, find someone you can talk to, you can be open with, you can get prayer with.
He is
God
a redeemer.
Is the healer. He redeems.
He redeems.
And
yes.
Some people say, well, if I'm involved in leadership and I get involved in some immoral situation, well, you know, our strong admonition would be the most important thing is your relationship with God and then your relationship with your family. That we deal with first. How you minister and what role you have, that's a whole different issue. But let's just get right with God. Get right with our family. Get right with those close to us. Have people in life to speak to us. And it's going to be amazing how God will turn this around for good in your life and anyone's life who's listening today.
Amen.
Wow. This has been good to have you with us today on this Leadership Podcast, 21 Tests of Leadership today, looking at the test of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back with more in the future. Laverne, anything else you want to say? That's good. Well, I pray in Jesus' name for anyone listening who is struggling with areas of integrity. Lord, you give them, first
yes,
of all,
Lord.
Grace to know that they're loved by you. And Lord, number two, grant them a person or persons they could talk to, confess their faults one to another, and pray for one another that they be healed. In Jesus' name. And we thank you. You're raising up thousands and thousands, and I believe millions,
mm-hmm.
of leaders, younger leaders in our generation, leaders
mm-hmm.
in all walks of life, who are going to be men and women of integrity for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, thank you for joining us for the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. Again, today we learn these small things, small changes we can make that make a major difference in our lives and the lives of those around us, those that we influence. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next week as we continue to walk through and passing the 21 tests of leadership. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.